When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Bang! It's good! James Harden! Right down Broadway! Embiid with a two-hand slam!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They look pretty damn dangerous.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Baseball. Three words. Three words. Very simple words. Figure it out.
The Rich Eisen Show.
He instituted a lockout.
Figure it out.
Earlier on the show, Denver Nuggets head coach Michael Malone, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, still to come, actor and director Ben Stiller, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Oh yes, this is going to be a great third hour because news is popping from the combine. Oh my goodness, like popping fresh dough. Poppin' fresh dough. Cliff Kingsbury just spoke from the Arizona Cardinals. We're turning around that soundbite. I haven't heard it. I don't know what he said. It's absolutely, and Steve Keim's talking in an hour, the general manager. I'm telling you, it's all going to be where we love Kyler. We love him. He's our guy. Kyler's our guy. That's what we're going to hear about. And just the question is when are you going to pay him? That's what he wants to know, apparently. That's what he wants to know, apparently. Bruce Arians just said the cost of trying to acquire Tom Brady, if he wants to continue to keep playing because he's under contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, five number ones is what he joked. Five number one picks. Clearly, it wouldn't be that expensive, but it would be expensive. The whole idea of, like, Tom, thanks for the time. Thanks for the 2 years. You want to keep playing for somebody else? We'll just let you go. Bruce Arians would definitely be in that meeting room raising his hand saying, nuh-uh. Nah, and Brockman is livid about that. As he said, who the hell is Bruce Arians?
Exactly.
You know what he is?
Bruce Arians,
two-time
honestly,
coach of the year who won the championship.
If Bruce makes the Hall of Fame, Tom Brady should be his introduction. He should ask Tom to introduce him because he only has a jacket and a bust because of Tom.
Very good to know.
So would the same hold for Bill Belichick? Belichick then?
I would say that.
Top rope. Top rope. Hold on a minute. Chris? Would the same go for Belichick?
Bill won Super Bowls before Tom.
So did Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers, for instance.
He won one.
Bill won two.
Great. Two get you in, guys.
As the assistant coach.
Bill's defensive game plan is in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Freak out.
Bill is in already. Come on, guys.
Dude.
Hey, TJ, wake up earlier.
Well done.
I wake up at 5:55.
By the way,
get up earlier.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Do you really wake up at 5:55 in the morning?
Yeah,
pretty much. Why did you get here at 8:15?
Yeah. What's going on? What are you doing? How many showers does one man need to take?
Away.
Seriously.
You walked into that one.
Yeah, walked into that one.
Wow. Good job.
What time's the show start?
Yeah. Oh, my word.
9:00.
Wow.
Do you really wake up?
Wow.
Nah, I mean, usually 6.
Yeah. Oh, 5 minutes later. Nice.
Boy, really, this isn't about me. It's about him trying to disparage.
Wow.
It's not about me. It's about him trying to disparage Bruce Arians.
Why shouldn't Brady also introduce Bill Belichick?
Maybe he will.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you what's not going to happen.
That. That.
I'm just saying.
Oh, baby. Ben Stiller's going to join us in 17 minutes time?
All I'm saying is Tom Brady should be able to do whatever he wants, and everyone should just say yes.
That didn't happen for New England for all that time, but did it?
Those days are over.
They didn't say yes to him, and he walked out the door.
Well.
What do you mean, well?
You have different approaches when it comes to Tom Brady being able to do what he wants, but LeBron not being able to do what he wants.
Why? Because it doesn't work.
I'm just saying.
Because there's 7 games under 500.
This year.
And they only won a championship in L.A. because he had 5 months off.
Let's just stipulate the man has different standards for Tom Brady and everyone else. And Tom Brady's resume might warrant that.
That's fine. I mean,
but in terms of him saying, I'm retired, I'm under contract to you, I'm retired. Oh, by the way, I want to come back and play for someone else. And the coach of the team that he retired on, leaving all sorts of questions, was, is it the coach is doing in any way, shape, or form, should have a problem with that. He's got a problem with that.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with him having a problem with that.
You say thank you. Hey, thank you for our Super Bowl ring.
No, you don't. No, you do not. You say there is a required compensation for his services. That's what it will take if he wants to do it. And that's that. And the whole idea, by the way, can we just rest on this one too as this thing continues to grow and grow and grow? Why would the 49ers do that? They don't have the compensation left to give.
Because they know that Trey Lance isn't ready.
That's ridiculous.
Wait, that they don't know? I mean, you do that because you think he's not ready.
Then you got to go. That's what. But when you trade up all the way into the first round like that, for one guy, you know you're going to have to start him at some point and take your lumps. They didn't miss. How do they miss? How could you say that they've missed on Trey Lance yet?
They would entertain getting Brady because they know he's not ready.
For one more year.
Yeah. And we've seen they can win the Super Bowl. They're close. They're very close.
I don't know if the football world would stay on its axis if that happened. Personally. If Brady unretires and says, I want to play for the 49ers and places pressure on the Buccaneers to trade him there, and Trey Lance has got to take one more year off, and they also have not, they've spent all that draft capital to move up and take a guy that doesn't get his first regular starting gig until 3 years in because Brady's wanting to play at age 45 and they accommodate him and hope to win. I don't know if the NFL world would stay on its axis or spin off into another complete different universe. And that's what people are opining on while his first announcement after saying never say never is to star in a movie with Lily Tomlin, Sally Field,
Rita Moreno,
and Jane Fonda. As if hanging around Tom Moore wasn't enough octogenarian time for Tom Brady.
Isn't it amazing? It's like the first day of the combine and we're just talking about Tom Brady.
Okay, folks. The Kyler Murray statement as constituted, fantastic piece of stationery. Always have to introduce it that way first. That has now reached a podium question for the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. Here was his response.
I have.
What were your thoughts on that?
It's part of the business. He has a job to do, and that's what he was doing.
How much have you been in touch with him
since he's come out? With Eric?
With Kyler.
Oh, with Kyler? I have not.
Did Eric talk to you about the statement before he put it out?
No. We keep those things separately. Like I said, we understand it's a business, and he's doing his job.
From your vantage point, how urgent is that situation to keep your quarterback satisfied?
I think all of our long-term goal here is to have Kyler be our quarterback, and he understands that, and he understands my view of him and how I feel about him. And once again, I'm going to refer it back to the business side of things, and that's not something that I deal with. But it's all part of the business right now and things that we'll continue to work through.
There you go. Eric being Eric Burkhart, the agent of Kyler Murray, who also happens to represent the coach. They keep church and state separate, and he's like, not my table, paying him or not. Steve Keim, that's his table. He's up in 52 minutes.
Not been in touch with Kyler Murray?
Ah, oh, please.
Really?
About this?
No, I mean, that's kind of surprising. No?
I don't know, man. He knows. What do you think? He wants a new quarterback? You think he wants a new quarterback there? Of course not.
No.
I don't think there's much daylight between him and Kyler. I wouldn't believe.
But it's weird that they're not talking.
Talking to each other? What are you doing? Calling up and just saying, I don't know. I guess I would call up and say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey,
why do you hit send on that?
Yeah, why?
What's going on? You happy?
We good?
Why'd you delete?
How's your body language?
We all right?
What's going on? What'd you have for breakfast? hasn't spoken to him? That's another way to just say, basically, you know what, I'd rather be out there than say, or I could say, yeah, I've spoken to him. We'll keep my conversations to myself. I don't know. There's many different ways of handling it. This is totally weird. It gets weirder. It's weird. Agent sends out statement.
Who also represents
the
you.
Coach.
Like,
yeah. Coach doesn't talk to the quarterback, but doesn't talk to the agent about this stuff. Agent doesn't let him know beforehand because they keep the church and state separate. It's a lot of churches, a lot of states. A lot of states. There's
really,
one state.
Not just like
a lot of churches.
Hey, Cliff, like, heads up. I know it might be a poop storm for you, but we're putting out this statement later.
Yeah, heads up.
Just a heads up. No? No courtesy? It's weird.
Or is he going to really be honest about all that right there? Yeah, I spoke to him beforehand.
Why couldn't he just... He could have easily just said, "You talked to Kyler?" Yeah, we've talked.
I don't know.
Could have easily done that.
Dude. Dude. We'll get to what's more likely after Ben Stiller. Goodness, I don't want to be late gracious. For him. Travis in Washington State. We'll take your call. What's up, Travis?
Hey there, Rich. Thank you for the call. I've wanted to call in about 1,000 times, but I've never been able to do it. Have a little bit of a different opinion than you on Kyler. I mean, I do think they absolutely should pay him.
Yeah.
But as a Rams fan, I hope they do because we live rent-free in his head and would love to see them pay him another $40 million a year just to watch Aaron Donald playing around like a ragdoll a couple times a year and
wow.
Continue to win those games and watch the Cardinals keep winning 8 games a year.
Well, I know. I know you're feeling yourself right now, and I totally understand why you would be feeling yourself.
In December, Rich.
I'm
writing checks.
I totally understand, but
Rich has been there.
The week four win that the Cardinals had over the Rams begs to differ. You know, and I know that week four is different than week 14, and obviously week 26 when you're playing in a Super Bowl, but. You know, I totally get the idea that the longer this keeps going on, the more that you're wondering if the Cardinals have their doubts about Kyler Murray too, right? I guess if he keeps on forcing the situation, saying it's time, that his biological clock is ticking, stamping his foot like Mona Lisa Vito, you know, I don't know, but that's a good question. And I love Rams fans feeling themselves, man.
As they should be.
Right?
How about that? Thanks for the call.
They should be feeling themselves.
Aaron Donald's got to come back first to throw somebody or anybody around like a ragdoll.
He'll be back.
Yeah, right? I mean, if you got Aaron Donald on your team, you should be feeling
yourself. McVay said he's coming back.
Les Snead and all them effed picks is tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern time.
All right.
Well, Rich, the great thing is we have a Rams insider coming in on Friday.
Ah,
so
that's right. Kara Henderson Snead will be here with Susie on Friday.
Yeah. Oh.
Getting you guys hammered.
Most of Friday.
I'll be drunk on Friday, baby.
Are you here Friday or is that Del Tufo?
It's Del Tufo. I never get to drink.
I think
with you guys.
You should just come in.
All right. I'll be here.
By the way, I have Del Tufo's coffee here.
Did you get that yet?
The Kona coffee.
He's not here.
No, but I'm going to leave it here for him.
We should hide it.
I should have Susie give it to him since she's the one who guilted me into buying it for $50.
That's absurd.
Wait till you see how small this bag is. It's absurd.
That's absurd.
This better be the best coffee ever.
Cliff Kingsbury not talking to Kyler, hasn't talked to his agent.
Man.
His agent didn't clear it with him.
Weird. What is going on?
Cliff on Kyler's social media scrub, quote, "I think if you look across the landscape, everyone has some of that going on, and it's part of their expression," says he is, quote, "highly motivated to be a much better player going into next year." According to Lock and Fora.
I'm not taking Kyler in fantasy next year. Moffitt.
Really?
1 year experiment.
Leave him for me.
Didn't work out.
Leave him for me then, if I'm in the same league as you.
Yeah, I'll take him.
Great.
Well, here's the deal, Rich. Honestly, he'll have, like, I don't know, 65, 70 minutes to think about whether or not he'd take him in this fantasy league. Because that's how long one pick is going to take in his league.
Oh, by the way, your fantasy league's out here next year, right? You don't have to go anywhere.
Oh, didn't even think about that.
Because it's always in the side of the Super Bowl.
He's very upset by that.
No, which means somebody has... Hold on a second. This is great. We stumbled on something almost as awkward and weird as the Cardinal situation.
Okay.
Chris Brockman's fantasy league.
Yes.
Where there is no time limit on choosing any player, which would automatically make me
livid.
Yeah, I'd be swinging, correct?
Yeah.
But he continues to be in it because there's a bunch of people that he used to go to college with Some of whom he doesn't really care for much anymore.
And now they're going to come to his crib.
But every year he's got to go. This year he schlepped to Tampa in a pandemic.
And now
to go do
here.
The draft. And now I suggested, hey, it's a home game. And you start shaking your head, meaning it's not this year in Los Angeles?
Because we have done the draft in L.A. before, we're going to have a vote on whether or not we come to L.A. or go to Cincinnati.
How long's the vote?
Okay, here's what happens. Here's what happens.
Wait a second. Did you hear that one, Rich?
Here's what happens. Chris.
How long is
Chris,
the vote?
Chris, this is what's going to happen. When is the vote?
Well, it's going to be soon because people want to buy plane tickets.
When is when do you think the vote is?
I would probably say in the next couple weeks.
Here's what's going to happen. We are going to put on a Chris Brockman stationery. I will formulate the statement that if you do not win the vote, if Los Angeles does not win the vote, you're out. You're out.
Out of the league?
Yeah, quit, bro.
You must commit. If you want your way, look at what Kyler Murray has done. The whole country's talking about it right now.
I got TJ Jefferson letterhead too. I'll write it
on
here.
Do you want to take a flight to Cincinnati? Do you really?
Not particularly.
Okay. Yeah. A 2-year-old son at home?
I don't want to do that.
You want to do that on the outset of an NFL season?
Absolutely.
You want to go fly to Cincinnati?
Nope.
The LA to Cincinnati flights are very few and far between.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Do you want it to be in Los Angeles?
You do want some skyline chili, Chris.
Let me handle it.
I want it to be at my house.
Chris,
I want to smoke all the meat on my
Traeger. I want to write the statement.
Okay.
And then you allow me as your representative of RES Consulting. Okay. Hit send.
Done.
You're welcome. In advance. We already have the stationery for him? I'll take the under. There he is.
BS.
What's BS?
Brock Shady.
Oh, Brock Shady. There you are, the clown makeup.
Get that clown.
Oh, no. We'll workshop it.
I mean, you don't got the cool one like I got.
We'll workshop it. Chris, you're welcome. Let's take a break. I want to be on time for my friend Ben Stiller coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a break. I want to be on time for him. Don't go anywhere. Ben Stiller next. We'll talk severance. We'll talk Knicks. We'll talk... Yes, lie detector tests with Robert De Niro coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I love this man's work, and his new show is dynamite. He is an executive producer and director of Severance, which is available now on Apple TV, Apple TV Plus. New episodes releasing every Friday, starring friend of the program, Adam Scott. How about this rest of this cast? In part, John Turturro, Patricia Arquette, and Christopher Walken. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show is Ben Stiller. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, Rich. How's it going? I'm doing well. Thanks.
I'm thrilled to have you here on this program. Before you joined us, I read out my residual checks, my foreign royalty statement from SAG-AFTRA. What is the longest ago check you receive for any small amount of money, 5 cents or anything like that? Which one is that for you?
Oh, wow. I go way back, Rich. Mm-hmm. I've been around for a while.
Yes.
I'd say maybe like Kate and Allie. A Kate and Allie episode? Yeah.
what were you doing? Who were you in Kate and Allie back in the day?
I was, Ben. I was a young, she was like when Kate or Allie, I forget who, went back to school, as an adult. And I was in her class at a community college, and I was a student activist, and we were protesting something that was going on. That's all I remember. And I remember that it was at the Ed Sullivan Theater. That's where they taped episodes, which was really exciting.
Really?
And yeah. And I still, yeah, every once in a while, like a $10, $8 check comes in for that.
For Kate and Allie. So that was that a very special episode of Kate and Allie back in the day?
It was, I don't think, it was like, no, it was a sort of not special episode. It was a run-of-the-mill episode.
Well, 1986, okay. You played a character named Peter.
Peter.
Too Late the Rebel was the name of the episode.
There you go.
There, that's right.
Check your mailbox now.
Then, you never know. And then maybe I did Miami Vice too back around that time, and that comes in every once in a while.
Miami Vice. Did you last the episode, or were you?
I was one scene. I was an informant who worked at a religious goods store, and Crockett came in to ask me some information. Brian Dennehy was the main guest star. He was the real guest star, and I just had a scene.
Oh. In a religious store, huh? Is that what you're saying?
It was called Amen Send Money was the name of the...
Wow. We're looking it up.
He was like one of those satellite preachers. And yeah, that was very exciting because I got to go down from New York. And, that was a big job to get for an actor back then, to get a spot on Miami Vice.
My God. So I guess in a way, if this was like a Kevin Bacon thing, I've done many CSI Miamis. I've done some of those. I played I played a reporter, and then also myself. I did that once. So
did you say I only caught the end of it? Mm-hmm. But you said draft day. Are you in draft day?
I am in draft. This is cool. Ben, this is an amazing story. Okay, I'm in draft day. Yes, I'm in draft day, and we recorded my scene, if you will. At Radio City Music Hall on the Friday of the 3-day draft, and they shot me doing my normal NFL Network draft night material on Thursday and asked me to wear the same clothes for Friday for continuity purposes, as you know.
Right.
And so because I had my day job or my night job, the NFL Network or the draft, I mean, it's a bear of an assignment. So I didn't really look at my scene. I figured, I'll just wing the lines. And then it's time to do the scene, and it's with Frank Langella, like the real deal, like a real dude, a real actor. And he comes, that's an understatement to call him that. And he comes up to me, he says, do you want to run through our lines? And I panicked because I had no idea what my lines were. And I panicked not since the third grade when I didn't do my homework, like it literally was a panic moment for me. But it was amazing. So I have been in a scene with Frank Langella.
Ben Stiller. I mean, Frank Langella is a great actor and intimidating to most very seasoned actors too. So to be jumping in with him and not knowing your lines is like a bad dream that I would have, because I literally do have dreams like the sort of cliche actor's nightmare dreams of not knowing my lines or not, not being prepared for something. But that's like literally, that would be scary.
So Ben Stiller here, Apple TV Plus's Severance. He's the director and executive producer of the show, and we'll get to that in a second. So what is it like to be hooked up to a lie detector with Robert De Niro asking the questions? What is that like?
Oh, man.
What's that like?
That whole experience was sort of felt like, every day being in that sort of like under the, his eye and like sort of, I think he made it because he's a method actor. He didn't make it easy for me. He wanted me to always feel uncomfortable. He really did feel like that the whole time. And, Bob, because now I do call him Bob.
Yes.
He's such a sweet guy, but like he really understood what the dynamic was there, and you never know because he could be like he would really every once in a while he would laugh at something, and then every once in a while he'd get really really mad about something, and you never knew which way it was going to go. And of course, when he'd get angry, it's like the De Niro that we all fear, the Goodfellas De Niro. So So it was very fun. I didn't have to act at all. I just sort of existed through that movie.
I love that. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've seen that movie so many different times and in so many different places. I've seen it on a plane, and at 35,000 feet, I've never been on a plane where every person, it was on one of those old school planes where everyone was watching the same thing. I've never heard a plane laugh hysterically quite like that film and that scene in particular. And I thought, so was that ad-libbed in any way, or were those lines actually nailed?
I mean, it was all, you know, we worked on the script, and you know, at that time, every day we would come in and maybe make little tweaks. And, you know, Bob would try stuff, but I don't remember doing a lot of improvising, except, you know, it's the kind of thing you throw something in every once in a while, but the improv kind of comes sometimes when you're working with the writer and the director to kind of figure out stuff. And that Jay Roach directed the movie. He was a great comedy director, did Austin Powers. And, you know, he was awesome at being able to get people to play around and have fun. But also, you know, you knew what you did going in. You weren't having to make it up at the time.
I love it. And then, do you have a good Brett Favre story from back in the day? Ben Stiller. You got a good Favre story for me?
I mean, I remember. No, I don't really have it. I mean, I remember, you know. That actually was an improv in that movie where I don't quite know how to pronounce his name. It's just Brett Favre or whatever. That was because I literally didn't understand how to pronounce his name. And,
still don't know. Because it's funny, we had the Farrelly brothers on the first year of this show 8 years ago, and they told us that you did have trouble pronouncing his name. So that is true?
Totally true. Yeah. But every day on that movie was an adventure because, you know, the Farrellys would have so much fun making a movie. They at first, you're like, what is going on here? Because they really didn't take it seriously. You know, but cut to 20 years later, Pete Farrelly wins Best Picture Oscar. You know, the guy doesn't know what he's doing. But the fun thing was that you kind of every day you go oh, is this going to be an actor? Is this Frank Langella? Or is this their, you know, guy who repaired their phone last week? You know, it's just there's no, you know, just be friends, family, and then real actors too. And every day they'd just be doing crazy jokes that are, you know, very inappropriate jokes on the set and things like that. And yet that was their, you know, they created such a fun atmosphere. And I think that's what made that movie fun is you know, nobody really knew what was going on most of the time, but that's kind of intentional, I think, with them. They wanted to keep that energy.
Ben Stiller here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get to Severance. What a brilliant idea this is, for our time.
It's an interesting, you know, idea that Dan Erickson, who wrote the show, came up with, because I think he was working at a really boring job, and he thought one day, what if I could just shut off my brain when I went to work and not have to think about this at all? And then when I left work, I'd forget it even happened. And so he came up with this idea of a guy who works at a company where they put a chip in your brain and you can basically, when you go down the elevator, you forget everything about your life on the outside and you have your work day. And then when you leave and you go up in the elevator, the chip gets activated and you forget everything that happened at work. So you have these two selves, an innie and an outie. And he went from there with it.
And, you know, Adam Scott, who I adore, he is in this as well. Patricia Arquette, who you have worked with before to tremendous effect in Escape at Dannemora. And then Christopher Walken, how did he get involved? What's that like directing him, Ben? What's that like for you?
Well, Chris, I mean, it's actually interesting because we cast John Turturro as one of the workmates for Adam at work, but then John's character he meets somebody at work down there, and a character named Bert, and we hadn't cast that person, and I was talking to him about doing the show, and he said, well, have you cast Bert? I said, no, we haven't. He said, well, what do you think about Chris Walken? And I was like, I think he's great. I'm a big fan of Chris Walken. I don't know if he'd do our show, but I mean, he's awesome. And he's like, well, can I ask him? And John actually asked Walken if he'd be interested in doing the show. And that's how we got him.
No kidding. So Turturro's like, hey, if you cast that guy, give Chris Walken a call.
And it was kind of this dream casting that I really never thought, you know, we actually have in the show, but it made a lot of sense because they have a lot of stuff together. I don't want to, you know, no spoilers, but he, you know, and working with Chris is amazing. He's one of the sweetest guys such a honestly such a professional. He has a lot of lines in the show, and he would come in every day, had his lines down perfectly, just would go do his thing, sit in his chair, then go do the scene, and you know, really just, and of course everybody's there is going, oh my God, we're doing a scene with Chris Walken, and you know, so he has that, he's aware of that, that that's around him all the time, but he's so gracious and cool. And I actually worked with him years ago. I did a movie with him that Jack Black and I did that Barry Levinson directed years and years ago called Envy.
Yes.
And then, yeah, and then years before that, the first job I ever had as an actor on stage around that Miami Vice time was a play in New York, and Chris was in the play. So that was the first time I ever really met him.
I was going to ask you where you go when you think of Walken. Do you go Deer Hunter? Do you go Pulp Fiction? Easily one of the best soliloquies in that film was him with the watch. Or do you go like more cowbell sketch, Bruce Dickinson, who, you know, makes gold plated records by putting his pants on one leg at a time? Like, which, where do you go with Chris Walken when you think of him?
What an amazing career. The breadth of his work, you know,
right.
Well, here's the thing. He was actually, for me, Deer Hunter is one of my favorite movies of all time. Mm. So, you know, that scene, the Russian roulette scene is just, you know, seared in my mind. You know, he actually was in a play with my dad, Jerry Stiller, back before I worked with him, called Hurley Burley on Broadway that ran for a couple of years. And I remember seeing that play a number of times. He played a casting director. It's like a bunch of guys in Hollywood. And it was William Hurt and Chris, and Chris was so good in that. So that's kind of what I think of him on stage. And you know, he's a dancer too. And you think of the Fat Boy Slim video.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's incredible. He started as a child actor. He's been doing it forever.
Well, Severance, you can watch new episodes every single Friday. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, you don't know Joel and Eveline Eisen, my dad who's passed, my mom who's still alive. Those are my parents. They loved your parents. They never met them, but they watched them and they loved them. Loved, uh-huh. Loved Stiller and Mira. Loved.
Thanks,
Ben.
Man.
Loved.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, no, you know, they were the best. They were the best. And it's really nice though, because it, going through life, like, I do get so much feedback from people who will either say, you know, they were a fan, or like you're saying, your parents, and they had a generational effect on, you know, and comedically they just, you know, they're my folks when they, you know, when I was a kid, I never thought about it, but now it's really nice to feel that, you know?
It's the truth, man. And then, you know, obviously your dad with Seinfeld, and then, you know, because I'm such a roast freak, I think it was the roast of your dad where Jeffrey Ross slayed B. Arthur with a joke once upon a time. It's one of my favorite roast moments, because Sarah Bernhardt did some sort of thing with your dad on the stage, or she danced for him. I mean, that roast was insane that night, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, just to imagine, I haven't watched that since back when, but like, you know, my dad, just the fact that he even agreed to be roasted, it's just like, that was just, it's so insane that he even said yes to that, because of knowing him and how he, you know, he was not like a tough-skinned, put down comic type of guy. You know what I mean? That just wasn't, he was like such a sweet person.
Right.
He, you know, you'd meet him and he would just be so positive. So, you know, just sitting, watching him, like, imagine Sandra Bernhardt doing a dance for him. You know, it's,
yes,
it's so not my dad. So, yeah, but it's just
that. Oh, and then that B. Arthur had no idea she was about to catch some shrapnel from Jeff Ross. That was a pretty something. Before I let you go, I want to give you the floor on the Knicks. What do you think? What do you think about the Knicks right now, Ben?
It's a bad. It's not good right now. You know, I think it's not good right now because it's a mess. You know, now the season's basically you know, on the downswing. So I don't think, you know, I think any like hope of like the play in is like, would, you know, I don't feel like that's realistic. I don't know if you do or not. But
I don't know,
you know, as a team, they're just. You know, they're, I think, rudderless. I'm saying generalities here. You
no,
know,
no.
But,
it's just
last year was so amazing. It's like been a big, big letdown this year.
Yeah, the big mystery is Julius Randle. You know, first of all, wearing Bernard King's number is just weird to me. But him last year being emblematic of, you know, the city and the gritty comeback and a great story. And then this year, you know, you know, doing a thumbs down and stuff. It's just been weird, you know. It's just been
it's been
a little weird with him. And
I think it's a very tough environment, obviously playing in New York, and it's so up and down, and it happens, you know, very quickly. And he had such an amazing year last year that, you know, there was so much expectation. And how people react, I don't know how you deal with that, but you have to, you know, figure out some way to deal with it as a player in New York. I think the fans want to rally around him and the team, but it's, you know, and you know, like right before the All-Star break, he had a run of like 5 or 6 games where right. he was playing like he played last year. But the consistency hasn't been there, and you know, who knows? How they can do it at that level consistently, but the consistency thing for the entire team, it's just been like one day, you know, and lately it's totally gone away. But it used to be earlier, even in the season, that like, you know, one day they'd show up and they were playing great, and then the next day it would be back to, you know, on awful games. And that's what's so infuriating for the fans. Like, you just want, like, give us a little consistency.
Who was your Nick growing up? Who was your Nick growing up? Who was the guy? Who
well, was guy? I was around as like an 8-year-old, you know, when like in 73. So I kind of remember, you know, that team. But, you know, for me, Bernard King was definitely my guy. And then there was, you know, Mike Glenn off the bench,
yes.
singer.
I remember him.
I was a big Mike Glenn fan, and I was always shouting to put Glenn in. I'd go to games with my dad, and I'd be shouting at Holtzman, put Glenn in.
Did he listen? Did he hear you?
He did not. He, every once in a while. My dad always would be like when he would put him in, he's like, he listened to you. He put him in. But he was an amazing shooter. And imagine, like, Mike Glenn in today's 3-point game, he would have been, you know, pretty impactful.
I remember that. Mike Glenn, he was a precursor to Trent Tucker, right, back in the day. The old Trent. Bernard was my guy, too, Ben. One of my favorite New York athletes of all time. Absolutely loved him. Oh, God.
Yeah, and people, I don't know if people remember, but he had an amazing comeback from an injury, you know, like right. where he literally was out, and he came back, and he ended up playing in an All-Star game, and, you know, had a short but great career in New York.
Could you imagine if him and Ewing actually were healthy together for a long time? Like, that would have been the stuff, you know? That would have been the stuff, man. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, it's been too long. It's been too long with the Knicks, you know?
I agree.
It's been a really long stretch.
I agree. Thanks for the call, Ben. Really appreciate it.
All right.
It's been too long. Hopefully, we'll do this more often, anytime. Congrats on Severance.
Thanks for having me, man.
Congrats
great
on
talking to you, man.
You bet. Congrats on Severance. It's a great show. Everyone should watch it. New episodes on Apple TV. Episode 4 you can catch on Friday. First 3 are available for you to stream. That's Ben Stiller at Red Hour Ben. I follow him. You should too. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was dynamite, man.
That was awesome.
Dynamite. Just love chatting with him. That was a lot of fun. Mike Glenn. You don't remember him. You don't know him. That's old school.
I consider myself kind of a basketball historian.
No, I remember him.
I don't even remember that guy.
I remember him. Was he a teammate of Rory Sparrow? Will you look that name up? Michael Ray Richardson.
Michael Ray, yeah. Wore socks
up to his
knees.
That was on the back end of the Red Holtzman era.
Michael Ray.
Oh, and Michael Glenn only played 3 years with the Knicks.
What years? 74, 5, and 6?
Nah, 78 to 81.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm glad Ben mentioned the movie Envy with Walken and Jack Black, because that's a movie I like, but like no one ever talks about it. But it's one of the ones, if I ever find it on, I'm sitting there.
So De Niro made him uneasy.
Tracks.
Makes sense.
That tracks.
Okay, let's take a break. See what other NFL news is popping. And then a combine version of What's More Likely?
Combine.
Sending me out the door to LAX?
For Rich out the door.
Very good. That's next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. My friends at Callaway Rogue want to let you know, if you want to bomb it off the tee, there is the new Rogue ST driver built for you. The Rogue ST driver has been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge. Gives you more speed on off-center hits, provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But it's just the beginning, because Callaway's engineered a Rogue ST for every player. The Max is most forgiving. That's what I use. The Max D is a dedicated draw model. That's not for you, Rich. Now, if you need something more low spin, there's the Max LS, which gives you stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight for the true players out there. The Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS, a compact low spin head that the tour players love. Bottom line is this, is Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go rogue. Word has been since the end of the season that the way that the season ended with the Colts, with Carson Wentz, who is unvaccinated, getting COVID and then not looking the same, and then them losing out the way that they did, has left a poor taste in the Colts' mouth for Carson Wentz. Mm. And that despite the Frank Reich resume of being a Wentz whisperer, that they're kind of done with him. That's been the word on the street. And this is what Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, I guess the host GM of the Combine, he's going to be literally right next to me in the booth, so I might be able to lean over and say, what's up? he had this to say about Wentz.
I don't know. We're still working through it. And I know I'm going to get a lot of questions about Carson right now. And it's a, I don't have a direct answer for you. We're working through it. Jim, Mr. Irsay, and Frank and I will sit down over the next 10 days and figure out where it's going. Ultimately, we'll do what's best for the team, for the Colts, both in the short term and in the long term.
All right, there you go. By the way, his pomade game and the part in his hair is very impressive. Yeah. Speaking of parting, looks like that's what's going to happen between the Colts and Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Jimmy G, according to Adam Schefter, is going to have shoulder surgery. Remember, he hurt his shoulder and was fighting through it? And it's going to sideline him to the summer.
Oh.
Not expected to trade his impact as status, his trade status, likely to have traded this month. Yeah, he's gone, guys. The wild card went over Dallas is when he hurt. Doesn't need thumb surgery, though. Surgery is expected to happen shortly. Significant interest in Garoppolo from multiple teams, per sources. And there's our Scandinavian source friend.
Is he an upgrade over Wentz? And he doesn't have a first-round pick this year, dude, so they would have to be.
Jimmy G, say what you want about him, but he's got some guts. So does Wentz. But he's gotten his team to NFC Championship games. Plural. And I know that one year in an NFC Championship game, it was like, you are not, or in the division round, you are not throwing. We're running. Whatever.
Whatever. You went into Lambeau and won the snow.
Let's see. All right. A special combine edition of What's More Likely to Send Me to the Airport. Hit it.
Let's go.
Hit it. Hit what? Here it is.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Great job. I mean, that is some serious production value. All right, give me some NFL Films music, please. Jay Felly, go for it, Christopher.
All right, first up, one of the all-time great performances in the history of the NFL Combine that propelled a player from out of nowhere into a high draft pick.
Mike Mamula?
Is Mike Mamula. So, what's more likely? Someone has a Mamula-esque performance and gets it in the top 10, or my guy Kenny Pickett goes in the top 5.
I'll go Mike Mamula. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going anywhere close to the top 5. And how much money is he paying you on April 29th?
That would be 20 hard-earned American dollars.
There are 20 hard-earned American. And Andrew Jackson, a Peter Gammons.
That's news to me. You're
going to pay him a Peter Gammons.
All right.
Okay. I mean, can I get that new Harriet Tubman 20, Chris, when it comes out?
That'd be good.
You know, Harriet Tubman.
Fresh from the mint.
Yeah, buddy.
Into your wallet.
Yes, sir.
Kuiper has pick at 11.
Dude, this guy this guy does not have
never know.
Cash, by the way. Oh, you'll be receiving it electronically.
I'll never get to 20, period.
All right, what else you got over there? What else?
I'll have you know I have a 20 in my pocket right now.
You got a bag well full of ones for me.
You might as well give it to him. Okay. Put it underneath Aikman's 8 beer for safekeeping.
What's more likely? Okay. We see more footballs on a stick?
Yes.
Or brooms during drills this year?
Oh, we better see more football on a stick. Because guess what? I have a live microphone, gents, and I have an ability to affect things. Okay? I have a live microphone, I've got a live network, and I've got a love for football on a stick. You can book it. Brooms. Who needs a broom? What do we have a broom for?
I mean, passing.
I know. I've never really seen many brooms. Football on a stick. You always need to simulate a snap.
Maybe the gauntlet? You can just like whip a broom at somebody?
Well, by the way, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
The old broom whip.
All right. Who is more likely to visit you in the booth, Bill Belichick or Andy Reid?
Well, Andy's never done it. Mooch is not going to be there.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe Bill will show up.
Bill has stopped by many times
invited.
In the past.
He's invited to come. Yeah. He's invited to be there. I would go John Harbaugh because DJ's there. You know, he's got Ravens connections.
Okay.
Or Brandon Staley because he's got Chargers connections. So I'll go Belichick.
All right. That's fun.
Well done. This is great, Chris.
All right, here we go. So what's more likely? Someone breaks the 40 record or we see a new bench press record?
I'll go bench press record. The 40 is just, you just never see it. You never see it. It's just so rare. John Ross was the last one to break it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And CJ2K lasted a long time. Yes. Yeah. It just doesn't really happen. Guys kind of tense up. I'll take the bench press record.
They need to have guys race. Then we'll see.
I'm telling you,
we'll see some records.
Yes, let them race. Let them race.
Let's do two at the same time. We'll see some fast.
A different take on the Bad News Bears breaking training chant. Let them race. Let them race.
Okay, last one. We talked to Dolphins.
Thank you, Bears. Thank you, Toros.
New head coach Mike McDaniel this week.
We did.
He's the man. So what's more likely? He does indeed drop the three cliches tomorrow.
Yes.
Or in the booth, DJ makes a superhero comp to a player.
That's a great one. I'm going to say both. In the history of what's more likely, it's a tie. Absolutely. Guy's got a Batman suit on. Yeah. He catches it like Spider-Man. He does that a lot.
He does a lot of superhero.
He does he does like the superheroes.
Yeah.
So, but Mike McDaniel, we've got it. He says he's going to do it.
Simpatico.
And that is at 1 Eastern tomorrow when Ryan Leaf is sitting in this chair for the next 2 days and then my wife. And Kara Henderson Sneed, Susie and Kara have Friday show. Tomorrow, 1 Eastern time, Mike McDaniel is going to step to the podium and he's going to say in one single answer, he doesn't have a crystal ball. It is what it is and you can control only what you can control. Or he's only talking about the guys that are here, which makes no sense at a combine. So those are the three he's going to do. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to get up. I'm going to high five him. Keep your eye on if you're scoring at home.
Podium two. Podium two.
Interestingly enough, all other podiums will be working. Interestingly enough, it's podium 1, 2, 3, and 5. Why is there no podium 4? Did they retire that for Favre? I don't know.
That's odd.
At the same time, Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM. Joe Douglas, Jets GM, and Pete Carroll will be there. And they'll be like, what the hell's going on? Why is Rich screaming yes, running down like he's just been called to contestants row? That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. So we will see you on Wednesday.
Safe travels.
Wherever you are.